Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy blessed Tuesday to you, wherever you are and whenever you are listening. I need to remind you that you can visit me at my Foxology address here at Blog Talk Radio 24/7, any time of day or night, and get yourself filled up on information, inspiration, and powerful insights from some of the most amazing people that I've had as guests. I promise you, there's just not one show that you can listen to and not have some type of marvelous takeaways, because that's my plan and my purpose, to get you empowered from the ideas, experiences, and inspirations of others that you begin to know for yourself that you can achieve and accomplish just about anything your heart desires and any wonderful thing that you dare to try. You can make it happen if you want it, and I just bet you do. Well, listen, I'm here to help, to rescue you if you thought you couldn't, to push you if you feel like things have been so jacked up lately and it's got you stymied, lacking hope, or if you've just fallen all the way down to the ground and done hit the bottom. I tell you, just listen, because we can pick you back up today. The journey to success has twists, it has turns, it has hills and valleys, highs and lows, but there is a winning side and a winning stride. My guest today has tapped into the true elements of success. He's used his extraordinary gifts and talents and experience, expertise to change the minds and lives of individuals who may have considered themselves pretty ordinary until he touched their lives and made them see their greatness and molded them into money makers and millionaires. Yes, he is indeed a game changer. He's even paved the way to a better, brighter future for more than 200 college students. He's a self-made millionaire, a millionaire mentor to many, a world-renowned speaker and senior VP at ACN, and he is my very special guest today. I think I'm bragging on you, Mr. Byron Nelson. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's my honor.
Well, it is such a delight for me to be able to share you with my audience as well. Thank you so much for carving out the time. You know, I appreciate you much for it. I really, really do. Well, we're going to be talking about the elements of success, which I know is just, you know, so easy for you to do. But I have a couple of questions before we roll into the conversation. I'm hearing a little background noise. I don't know what that is. Is that the are you moving around?
No, I'm right here. Am I not coming too clear?
Okay, that's
can
much
you hear me
better
clearly?
Now. I don't hear anything.
Yeah, I'm very
better.
Still. I'm not moving at all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, great, because sometimes it these phones are so sensitive, they pick up every little bit of static and noise and movement, but that sounds a lot better. Thank you for adjusting that for us. I want to go ahead and jump right into the conversation, because I know there've got to be so many people who are really interested, and particularly right now in an environment, atmosphere where you can really do some things and it can totally flip the script on your life. Some of the opportunities that are available, you just kind of got to know what really are the elements of success, what are the things that really take you there. I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts on, is there more than one definition of success to you?
I think success is an ongoing process. I don't believe anyone who has the perception of being extraordinary or being great ever believes they're successful. You look at somebody like Michael Jordan, he did not know how to let go. You look at someone like Tyson, he just kept going. You look at Kobe until he actually, you know, tore his Achilles, he kept going. So those that have that perception or that idea of being extraordinary never believe that they're successful. The world actually raves at the and marvels at their state of excellence to not even work for perfection but be the best version of themselves. And I don't believe, honestly, that anyone can tell you successful until you meet your maker. You hear people that say, I've retired. I don't get what retired. Most of the people I know that have retired or use that word come generally, you know, like my father. My father was a principal. Fortunately, he was an entrepreneur and at the same time planting seeds within me, which I think gave him the longevity to live much longer than most. But he was a principal. He was like the Joel Clark out of New York in the movie that was made. He literally was a person who went in and every district from Chicago all the way back to California, Brown versus Education, the whole gamut would pull him in to completely reconstruct a culture within heavily inundated, dysfunctional communities. But I use that as an example because the average principal, true story, it's a fact, that the average principal dies within 3 years of their retirement.
Wow.
So when you look at, I mean, yeah, it's that kind of stress, especially in the inner cities. So when you're looking at someone who says, I'm retired, retired from what? You know, I mean, people that are, you see actors. I was just watching a program that was directed by Spike Lee, and then I was looking at another one, especially with it being, you know, last month, Black History Month. I was looking at a lot of documentaries. You look at people that look for great achievement from an Oprah all the way around the table, and none of them are going to retire because, you know, the only people that take a vacation are, if you ask the average person, you know, why are you taking vacation? The average person, I'm talking about the masses, they'll say, I need to get away from the house. I need to get away from the job. I need to get away from the wife. Well, why'd you get married in the first place? You know, it's like, but a truly successful person you know, a successful person, vacations, not to get away, not to go on vacation and sit in the sun, but to recharge, to get back to what gave them their purpose and their anointing in the first place. When you're living in your purpose and your anointing, you're never retired, because you are loving your dream. Your life is doing and being productive and contributing at the highest level, at whatever skill set you put your hands on. It's like Beethoven or Prince. They're never going to retire. They make music. It's like taking a voice. Look at everybody that ever stopped their craft. Tyson, when he stopped working out, his life was over in the boxing world. Whitney, as soon as she stopped singing and working meticulously at being the greatest at the gift that was given to her, her life was over. When you're living into your purpose and your anointing, you're never retired because you're giving so much back to the universe, so much back to the world, to bless so many people with what you've put hundreds and thousands of hours into developing as a skill set to bless people.
That was really awesome. You know, I'd like to ask about some of the typical factors that play within what you just said and ask your thoughts on that, because, you know, we see a lot of memes and people say, well, you just got to be determined and, you know, it's a decision, or even some people just, and maybe this is really true, that it's just destiny, that some people, you know, you're born with gifts. I think you said your father planted seeds, but I mean, when I think and know what I know about you, I don't know how you could have become anything other than who you are. What do you think about that drive and determination, you know, decisions, you know, making decisions and destiny? Because I know you're in an everyday mode of building people and taking them and making them into money makers. So what are some of the coaching aspects of that you can convince them from their start that they can become huge money makers and even millionaires?
Now, there's you used a word there, and I'm very, very spiritual, as you are, which is our relationship was already, you know, divinely ordered. So I'm really big on words, and I speak in terms of, you know, Jesus was the Word before he became Jesus, so words can give life and they can give death. You used one specific word in there. You said convince. I think I went through my journey of my 20s and my 30s in that space of what could you do to convince somebody they can be great, and I'm so sold out and unequivocally committed to understanding you cannot convince anybody of anything. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. I believe there's so many people out there convincing people that they can, if you don't know that you were born for greatness. Now, I do believe everyone has a lane. Like, I was having this conversation with, you know, my partner, and literally that's what they invest their life in doing. That's what they spend their life doing is giving and finding the greatness or the beauty in other people. For me, that's not my lane. And I believe everybody has a lane. Like, not everybody's supposed to play basketball. Not everybody's supposed to play tennis. I am so beyond convincing somebody of their greatness that I believe there's a platform for that. I believe there's people for that. I'm known as, if I were to actually find a something that mirrored who I was, if I had to find an emblem, or if I had to find a something that truly paralleled who I was in the universe, it would be a lighthouse. People only find me when they want to go to the next level. I'm not convincing you that you can go to the next level. My job is to take a person who knows they want to get to the next level and take them there in collapsing time frames of how to do that. I don't make people great. The people that come to me, they already were destined for greatness. They knew they were great. You can't. The most dangerous thing on the planet is a made-up mind. When your mind is made up, everything that you've ever gotten in life, you've already gotten. Or you will get. And everything you didn't get, you did not really want. Because it doesn't come to the skill. It doesn't come to the talent. There's 450-plus players that play in the NBA. There's a range. I'll tell you, 95% of them play between $1 million and $10 million. And then there's a very select few that are playing at $20 to $40 million a year. You can count them and under 20. There's under 20 people making over $25-plus million a year in the NBA. So they're all playing basketball. They already are elite athletes. So they're destined to play basketball. But what separates that great person that has been gifted talent that does not take that to the next level of a work ethic? Nobody will ever outwork me. You may have more talent. You may have more skill. But what allows a successful person to win or to become extraordinary, an ordinary person to become extra, to stand out above all the rest, is their work ethic. It is truly an insatiable appetite, a passion, and a conviction to be the best, not against the competition, but against themselves. I was listening to an interview with Serena one time. She did this probably about 5 years ago. They interviewed her, and they asked her, and they, you know, everybody thought Serena had an edge and she had an attitude. And they were asking us, like, are you upset? And I think it was a Wimbledon, too. It's like, are you upset that XYZ beat you? And what took everybody back is what was their listening. See, they weren't listening. The great ones heard what she said. The masses missed the entire conversation, and that's why they're in the stands, and that's why they pay with their opinions. What she said was, she did not beat me. I did not come to this match prepared. I beat myself. And people thought that was an arrogant statement, that it's like, oh, she didn't beat you. She didn't beat you. You just lost. No, I lost. I didn't lose to her. I failed myself. I know what I'm capable of doing. See, extraordinary people that are destined for greatness, they know when they're prepared and when their plan is in place. You know when you go into a class to take and you take a test. The person that gets an A, they already knew they were getting an A before they took the A. A person like Muhammad Ali, before he went into a match, He knew the match was over before it started. The rest, it didn't matter what the you know, what I call the crows were saying. He already made up his mind before the match started. And what was really crazy about Muhammad Ali, why he was the athlete of the century, why he was the man of the century, not of the decade, not of the year, is he mastered making the universe conspire for his success. He would tell people when he was going to knock somebody out. He would tell somebody what was going to happen with a riddle or a rhyme. He would speak into existence to the universe, this is what's going to happen. Now, I want you to imagine George Foreman, as big as this man is, he was a bear. If you kept interviewing two great champions, and one said, I'm going to knock you out in the fourth round, and he's mastered the art of making the universe conspire to his success, and he put in the work to do so, and a person comes up to you and keeps interviewing you and says, Muhammad Ali said he's going to knock you out in the fourth round. Muhammad Ali, but he said he was going to, are you going to make it past the fourth round? If you have all of the noise and the crows talking into your head about what somebody else has already claimed before it happened, you can't help but be thinking, what the hell is going to happen in the fourth round?
That's right.
He spoke his excellence into existence, but he backed it up with amazing. He outworked everybody. Jordan outworked everybody. Arthur Ashe out everybody. The top doc. See, here's when we talk about success. And when you identify a coach or a mentor that is going to, the one thing, why do you get a coach or a mentor in the first place? Many people don't understand that. It's for accountability. Not because you don't know what to do, but because nobody's holding you accountable. And so when you look at the mastery and the work that was put in to what I call the stage that I'm in my life right now, which is called the Sistine Chapel, that means everything that I do has to be a masterpiece. I'm not in a rush. I'm not looking to the left or the right. I'm not in a race against anybody else except for what I see in the mirror to challenge myself to say, are you really doing all that you could do in this life, in these milliseconds, in this 1,447, with these minutes that God gave you? You're given 1,440 minutes every day. Now, you would never know, with the energy that I'm exuding right now, I have not slept in 48 hours. I do know how to meditate. I do know how to get into a tantric state. I do know how to pray. I do know how to get into an algorithm and truly know the levels and the boundaries of my body, my mind, and my spirit. Mm-hmm. But for the rest, I don't understand. You know, you'll hear people say, oh, I got to get 8 hours of sleep. You know, that's why you're broke. See, every extraordinary person, and when I say broke, I'm not talking about money. You can be mentally broke, physically broke, emotionally broke, financially broke. There's a myriad of ways of being broke. The beautiful thing about the word broke is you can fix it. See, there's one thing that every extraordinary person or amazing person has. It's called an OG. Now, you and I, we could take that back to the hood and we would know what that means. But the OG in this terminology, the OG in this terminology stands for an obsessive gene. People that move to the next level, that one frequency. You got 10 horses racing. One horse that wins by a millisecond. You look at most people, Spitz. You look at most of the races, track, Bolt. Bolt was a different situation. But in most cases, they all just won by a millisecond in a track race or in a horse race. But nobody will ever remember second or third. They only remember first. You only have to come in first one time to establish your mark, to know that you can do it again and again and again in your race of life. It's an amazing concept.
Yes. Everything you said is amazing. I'd like to ask you something because you said that the people that come to you already know their greatness. So I want to speak, if you don't mind, to that for just a moment, because you know how many people are of the mindset for whatever reason, that they lack degrees of self-esteem necessary
right.
to even believe that there is the element of greatness mm-hmm. in them. And what can you say? Because it's absolutely true. We have it. We have it. But mm-hmm. what can you say to individuals who are listening that would think, but how do I tap into the fact that I can tell myself, believe in myself, that I am great? Now, I know you said there are people who do that, who, you know, there are the convincers
mm-hmm.
who
right.
can help
those
people.
You don't have the confidence. You don't know how to get there. So the first thing is that you have to decide you want to be somewhere different than where you are. I'm a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come to me and say, I don't know where I want to be, right? You can't get into your car and just start driving randomly without having a destination. It's your destiny. So you first have
correct.
To establish, and I have found, the greater majority, not an absolute, but the greater majority of people that achieve monumental or mammoth success are pissed off at where they came from, to the point that they never want to go back there again. You look at Oprah. Never want to go back to what she
yeah.
went through, sodomized, rape, everything. You look at people that here's the other side of it. One, you have to be in a state of so much dissatisfaction, so much pain from where you came from, that you're willing to change the world and be an example for others to never go through it again. The other side of that coin is you need to attach yourself to someone that you want to emulate, not someone you want to idolize. See, Kobe did not idolize. He immortalized Jordan to the point he's like, I'm that man. I'm taking that game. I'm going to master everything. Before Kobe, there was Jordan. Before Jordan, there was Dr. J. They all attach them. I don't know why people attach themselves to mediocrity, because your limits of success are to your levels of belief. So your levels of belief are based on what you attach yourself to a person that has already achieved what you want to achieve. And in that, you then emulate and duplicate what they did, and you will get what they got. But so many people have bought the lies of them growing up, the circumstances of them growing up, the single parents, the dysfunction, the drugs, the I'm ugly, the ugly duckling, the bullying. How do you overcome that? When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. The most amazing thing about the Homo sapien is we are the only animals that know how to adapt to anything. So people say, I'm uncomfortable. I'm like, but you're uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable? They're like, yes, then do something about it. But they haven't done anything about it because they learned how to adapt and be comfortable in an uncomfortable position versus the person who's like, I will never settle for that. It is the power of choice. It started with Adam and Eve. Human beings were the only animal in the animal kingdom given the power of choice. And it's never too late, you're never too old, and you're never too young to make a decision. Now, the discomfort in that is first identifying a question. And here's the question. What am I willing to give up to get what I want? Are you willing to give up the opinions of your friends? Are you willing to give up the validation of your parents? Are you willing to give up sleepless nights? Are you willing to give up that chicken when you want to lose weight, that fried food when you want, that carbs, that sugar when you're not healing? Are you willing to have a discipline so ridiculous that the universe has to converge and lift you higher than everybody else? That's what it comes down to. So that person who doesn't have confidence, it's okay to not have confidence, because here's the thing about understanding that confident thing. Why you attach, or what I call is a collision for success. You don't even have to, they can be afar. For Kobe or for LeBron, everybody, anyone that's ever reached any pinnacle of success, their hero was way off into the future. Somewhere they didn't know him. They couldn't pick up the phone. They couldn't just go. They may have been in the nosebleed. They may have been someone like, you know, Damian Lillard, mm-hmm. you know, from Oakland, from Hood. But they attached themselves to saying, that's what I want. Now, on the flip side of what I was sharing with that is, you have to then learn how to cut away the fat, the white noise, and all the people that don't pour into you that are takers. And it's a lonely space. That's what separates the great from the mediocrity. It's the mediocres. They don't want to cut away the fat. They prefer to live in the story. They bought their own lies, their own stories, to justify everything's against me. The odds are against me. I never got a break. Me? I love adversity. The less breaks I get, the more wood I'm chopping. But you have to, you got to, see, you're going to become a law. Every person on this planet is a law of attraction. You mm-hmm. attract what you are. It's amazing how a person will go and say, well, can point out every negative person, and they're the most negative person in the circle.
Right.
You'll see that blacks hang out with blacks, Persians hang out with Persians, Japanese know other Japanese, whites know other Hasidic Jews, know other Hasidic Jews. You'll know that single parents, they know a whole lot of other, you know, single mothers that are out there. You know, deadbeat dads, they know a whole bunch of other deadbeat dads. To break that veil, you're going to have to get into a space of uncomfort zone to get around and cut off those branches, prune those branches, to surround yourself. And that's the lonely corridor, is to learn how to cut away good people. There's an amazing book called Good to Great. One of my favorite statements in that book is, the reason there's people don't have great relationships is because they got good relationships. There's no space for a great one. The reason why they don't have great incomes is because they have a good income. A person actually makes $100,000, $200,000 a year and actually thinks that's good. Are you kidding? With hyperinflation on the rise, with not understanding diversification and the new currency and the new world order, without understanding the digital mm-hmm. dollar, without even just paying attention to what Tesla is doing, where you're looking at in less than 4 years, 60% of the cars will be electric. Right now, 60% of the cars are hybrid. You don't see us going from the post office to the email. You don't see that we went from Blockbuster to now Netflix, and Netflix offered to merge with Blockbuster, and where is Blockbuster today? See, if you are not willing to redesign yourself, and find an architect to be the self-architect in building a new life in adaptation and evolution, then you become the antique. I remember when computers first came out, and people, even today, you got people from the older generation, but if you just go back just 7, 8 years, you'll have over 40% saying, I'm not really, you know, computer savvy. I'm not computer, you know, I'm not equipped to understand the computer world. Guess what? If you don't understand a computer today, you are antiquated.
That's for sure. That's for sure. You know,
don't learn it.
I was just about to bring...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just about to ask you about that, because I think that the younger generation
mm-hmm.
may grasp the concept of what you're explaining so much easier than a lot of folks who are older. I did a show the other day talking about aging. We tell ourselves to believe certain things, and you also said we're just never too old, which I also believe. Do you actually see any kind of generational gap with people that you actually come in contact with, who you work with, that find themselves needing to redefine their thinking? The younger people, they're accustomed to this new whole new world order that you're talking about. That's all they know now. But
right.
a lot of us didn't grow up into that. So there, what do you see in that divide? What do you see actually see? I mean, you've done an excellent job of an overviewing for us. But when you come in contact with individuals, you know, I know enough about you, Byron, to know
right.
I mean, you don't spend a lot
right.
of time with people who are not thinkers
and doers
like you. So I know I'm asking a question that I have
I get
to make you respond.
I love it. No, please, ask me. I love the questions. I love what you're bringing to the table. So it's one of those things where it comes with wisdom and it comes with age and experience. There's nothing new under the sun. A moral fiber to an individual is a moral fiber to an individual. Integrity will always be integrity. Keeping your word will always be keeping your word. We have gotten into a space of time where, yes, change has shifted the thinking, but there's pros and cons to it. The pros are things move faster, things are more effective, things are more efficient. You know, you don't have to go back like we did in school and you say computer and you say, okay, so are you taking COBOL? Because a person today that's working on Apple as an engineer that would be like COBOL. That's, what is that? Is that not understanding, you know, what programming is that, right? But the evolution of where we are today and being able to move information more effectively, being able to move money more effectively, being able to compound, I find in the newer generation that it, specifically because I'm dating myself, but I see, you know, I've been able to overlap three generations. I see this last generation, this up and coming between 18 and 25, as the new breed. They're the new lead because they're the ones that actually voted. When you look at the millennials, the reason why Trump was in office is not because they voted Trump in office, but the millennials voted Clinton out of office. They did not want the old realm. They specifically did not, it had nothing to do with her being human. They did not want her and the old school of thinking of the Clinton thought process in office. Nobody expected Trump to win. And he just kept rising and rising. I mean, it happened almost like Bitcoin going from 23,000 to 54,000 in 2 months. It happened right in the ninth hour. It happened in the ninth hour. And everybody's like, this is not really happening, is it? But that was the new wave of this whole new birthing of mentality of what's going on. The rise up in China right now, of what happened between Hong Kong and the old school of China and what's going on there. All new thought, all new kids, all new babies. Everything as far as the vote is concerned now, all new kids, all new. They're now coming into their own power and being able to now think for themselves independently without. Because they're understanding the school system. They're understanding everything about the education system, not as a whole, but probably, you look at it, 80% of the people that get a degree don't practice what they got their major in. 70% of the people that become wealthy today actually dropped out of high school or college. I met a kid just like last week. They just wrote this kid a $100 million check for his idea. They wanted to give him one of the biggest investment firms wanted to give him more money, and he's like, no, I'm not giving up more than 51%. I mean, you get 49%. You are not going to own my ideas and my thoughts. This kid's 25 years old. I looked at my son's business plan for his gaming. He's creating his own game. He was doing gaming since he was freaking came out the womb. His mother, just like most parents, wanted to reprimand him. If you mess up, I'm taking you from the computer. What did I do? I bought him two computers. I said, but here's what you need to learn. If you're going to be on this thing, you better learn how to monetize it. By the time he was 12, he was in the World Series for Gaming's invited to Japan. He started taking Japanese when he was in second grade because he was already knowing they were making all the games at that point in time. This is their thinking. So I give much props to the new generation of the ones that are now. You're still going to have the human race. You're going to have the sloths. You're going to have the pikers. You're going to have the ones that are, you know, the takers. And that's just part. But the new realm of thinking and this new generation, if you look at people that are talking about, you know, when I talk about financial literacy, when I first started talking about working from home 27 years ago, people looked at me like I had, you know, what are you talking about? Is it a pyramid? What are one of those things? Guess what happened when COVID happened? Everybody's working from home. Now what? Crackhead. Everybody has to learn. If you don't learn how to if you don't learn how to work online and have a business in some capacity delivering goods, which has made life so much more powerful to be able to have a global business. My son has friends all over the world from the time he was 9, 10, 12 years old from gaming, and his whole mindset is to be able to, I mean, he wants to make his he's way beyond a seven-figure mentality, but his mindset for abundance is not for riches, is to make a difference and change this world and help people that are so much less fortunate than he's ever been. It mentally messed me up to have a conversation. My best New Year's Eve in my life was this New Year's Eve, having it with my son and him saying, can you help me construct my business plan? Can you help me set up my business account? Can you help me set up, you know, and make sure that my I need to understand the distinction between an LLC, an S corp, and a C corp. I need to understand, how do I maximize the taxes? He already has an investment fund. He was already making money. His mind was already way beyond advanced. So I have a great applause for the forward-thinking ones that are stepping up to take ownership of their life. Now, like I said, there's a downside to it. The downside is this boy still doesn't have a driver's license because he lives in Uber.
You know, wow.
He knows how to cook, but his favorite app is Uber Eats. You know, so there's a downside to all of this automated system. But when you look at just where we are and understanding, when you go to the airport and you have people that are teaching you how to use a machine to check in and go through the airport, they're actually teaching you how to use a machine that's replacing their job. That's amazing to me. You actually have a job that you know has no future. I remember when they had travel agents. It used to be 12, 15 desks, just like insurance offices in a room. You don't have no insurance agent. You don't have no travel agent anymore. You got everything online. You got everything on your app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's so
the
true.
New age.
It's so true.
But do I have to say about this new age of thinking? I applaud it. You know, I mean,
right.
We have been having, me and my son for the last 3 months have been talking about, you know, the difference of diversification, understanding that you don't count on one stream of income. I started teaching him about the Dead Sea versus Euphrates and why, even with people, there's an ebb and flow and a law of reciprocity. It's not good to be a taker, and he's never been that. He's a giver. But I said it's not good to be a giver and not know how to receive. The reason why the Euphrates is so powerful and so the shrubs and the green, and it's one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful river in the world, is because of the branches that branch off, the diversification. Those that live in the Dead Sea have linear income. They're stuck right now. They have anxiety attacks going on right now. Their health is failing right now. Their relationships are falling apart. They don't even know how to act in a house with the husband and wife because they haven't been around them for 15 years. So now all of a sudden, who are you in my house? I just had this conversation with a woman yesterday, or 2 days ago, about I just moved out. Left him with the kids and everything. I was like, what happened? We're forced to be in the house. I didn't know who he was, and I don't want to know who he is now. If you don't learn how to redesign and reinvent yourself, if your mind is not open, you said something earlier, and I say it all the time, your income, and when I say your income, I'm not talking about money. So many people think I'm attached to the money conversation. It's so much bigger than that. It's about love. It's about appreciation. It's about passion. It's about living. When I say income, I'm talking about everything coming into your life that you attract. Your income is in direct proportion to your knowledge base that is applied, which means you can't have any more than you know how to have. So you're skeptical. I have people say, well, I'm skeptical. How's that working for you? I'm cynical. Okay, that's great. I love Warren Buffett's conversation. I don't know how you're living. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Not you. I'm saying, but generally speaking, because for me, Warren Buffett said, I look at a minimum of 100 deals a day. Not one time does somebody bring me an opportunity about money that I don't look at. Now, 100 deals a week, a day to a week, he looks at. He said, now, I only take 3 to 5 a year. And that is why
a year.
I know how to recognize, yes, a year. He said, that is why I know how to identify and recognize an extraordinary opportunity that sets me apart from everybody else. Because I'm not that person, okay, what are you bringing me now? Okay, well, what is this? The United States is so spoiled and entitled from a broke perspective. It's amazing to me. Totally amazing to me. And when I say broke, I'm talking about not broken. But the mentality and the closed-mindedness to not open to new things, but then you understand why the movement, the power shift financially is moving to China. They cracked the code. Now, Japan had the first wave to do it, and they messed that up. That's a whole other history lesson in itself.
Yeah.
But what's
going on
when you look at Jack Ma? Jack Ma, Alibaba is worth, think about Bezos. Jack Ma, Alibaba is worth 7 times more than Amazon.com. Does that not scare anybody?
It's been around a long time.
I mean, Elon Musk has taken Tesla. Now, obviously, it dropped down to 600 this week. He has taken Tesla and through majority of this COVID year has blown up, taken his stock, split 5 times, made more money, hit the number one money. Do you understand that Elon Musk was attempting to sell Tesla to Disney 2 years ago, and the president of Disney did not even return his phone call? Do you understand that today, 2 years, not 5 years later, not 10 years later, 2 years later, this man is worth 3 times the amount of Disney combined. Then Elon went and put $1.5 billion in Bitcoin. Then everybody is like, I don't understand. Do you know only 1% of the population even understands crypto? Do you understand less than 0.5% understands robotics? Less than 0.5% understands DNA and genetics? Less than 0.5% understands what's going on with this vaccination and hasn't even invested to understand what Novavax is doing, nor any of the other two, Pfizer and the other, don't even understand what and how it's being moved. They have no concept. That's because they're sheep. And by default, they will have to use whatever is forced upon them. And they're like, well, what do you think about the vaccination? Look, you don't even have the money to buy yourself into a different position of life. You don't have the network. You don't have the human equity. You have not built the human equity, the value of who you are, because we are going into a have and have-not society. Everything moves from east to west. It happened in Africa. It happened in Russia. It happened in the Middle East. It's all coming here now and hitting them, and everybody's like shocked, like, what is going on? Well, I'm not going to take the vaccination.
Yeah.
Guess what? How does a man that created Microsoft, a man that created computers, now become an expert on health? That's called influence. That's called the power of money. That's where we are always at the train station waiting for ships to come in. Hello, ships don't go to the train yard, y'all. You might want to move over to where the water is. You got to educate yourself. But guess what?
Well,
if you don't own the most valuable commodity in life, you'll never know any of this. What's that? What's the most valuable commodity in life? Time, because most people are busy being broke.
Well, I wish everybody had someone like you that they could sit at your feet and listen, because I could listen all day, but I know we neither one of us have all day to talk about it, but you bring so much power and wisdom to the things that you have said. And I, you know, it's interesting, when I'm prepping for shows, I generally have a page of scratches and notes and everything. And for some reason, I knew I wouldn't have to do that.
I was going to say, the first thing is just really understanding quadrants. It's understanding the balance of life. It's understanding love, you know, treat people. I mean, if people just understood that universal law in itself, to be able to go and give and know that if you can give without expectation, if you can love without expectation, then get out of the me syndrome. That in itself is one of the most healthy, karmic, highest frequency currencies that will pay you 1,000-fold when it becomes your lifestyle, not when you're doing it and you're forcing yourself to do it. Then to be able to truly be in a space where I said time is your friend. If you don't have the time, you don't have the time to understand how a Coca-Cola that costs $1.25 will kill you versus a carrot juice at $5.25. And you aren't buying a carrot juice because you can't afford it. But you can't afford not to.
Yeah.
Right? And the first law of understanding
it's true.
Money is truly understanding. My first law is understanding residual income. I mean, linear income. Mm. I mean, at what point do you work? Because the wealthy, not the rich, the wealthy have mastered making their time and their effort work for them when they stop working. That's the first level. The second level is making sure that you have money, excess, where most people don't have enough money to get through the month. But the excess, whether it is a dime, or whether it's 100, whether it's 1,000, I asked a question in front of thousands of people before Silver. I asked them a question. I said, how many people in here? And it had to be a good 700-800 people in the room. I said, how many people in here have a savings account? And I promise you, 99% of the people raised their hand. I said, that's the first law of ignorance, to understand that while your money is in the bank and you're getting 3% back in your savings account, at best, it's not even that anymore. They're making a minimum of 60 to 70% back on your money every day. At what point do you not stop and understand that I need to be the bank? Or leverage, or figure it out, or learn? I asked, how many people in here own their house? 65% raised their hand. I said, how many people have a house and it's paid off in full? There had to be maybe 3 or 4 hands still standing. I said, so you don't own the house. The bank owns the house. They're just waiting to take it back from you. We're in a hyperinflationary period. You can just see that at the gas station right now. You can see that with the interest rates that are happening with trying to buy a house right now. They were at 2.5, 2.6, 2.9. That was in December. Do you know you can't find a house or refinance a house at anything under a 4.5 today? That was less than 2-3 months ago. That's called hyperinflationary. They printed $1.9 trillion, $2 trillion the first time. That was in the last 12 months, $2 trillion. They just printed another $1.9 trillion, and they're about to print another $1.9 trillion. Backed by what? Do you not see the writing on the wall of a collapse? And you're like, I'm okay. I'm just waiting for my stimulus. I'm waiting for my PPP. I'm filling out some more forms. Are you kidding? You crackhead. No, I'm just a realist. I'm just the truth. And it's like, people don't want to find me unless you want to hear the truth. That's the reality of it.
You tell the truth.
You have to be educated. You have to surround yourself.
We've only got a few minutes left, and I want to ask you a couple questions. Actually kind of go through a couple of the important takeaways that I jotted down while you were talking. You said so many amazing things, but I wanted to ask you if I kind of hit these right, and if there's anything you'd like to add before we wrap. But, I tried to break it down into simple forms for people to understand where they may be in their seat, in their home, in their life. So, please fix it if you need to. But I put down their greatness, that their own greatness, and the need to ask themselves, what are you willing to do to get what you want? And I also wrote down that you said stay current with the current. That's kind of how I worded that. And I also wrote take ownership of your life by redefining and redesigning what you think and believe about things. So I don't know if that, you said 100 things I could have made notes about, but
I'll make this short and then you can ad lib on anything in these last 5 minutes or so. The one thing that I really want to stand out beyond, if anybody knows that they were meant to be great, they just don't know how to get there, send me an email. I'm real simple, mr.byronnelson@gmail.com, and just say, I want to be great in the title. Real simple, easy to find me. I'm on Instagram, Mr. Byron Nelson. Just say, I want to be great, and let's have a conversation. Because my job is not to get you to do what I do. My job is to serve you to find what's going to work for you. Now, in that conversation lives really that price. Like I said, what are you willing to give up? Here's the thing. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. So if you ask the person, that's the truth. So if you ask the person, what is your dream? Right? What is your dream? Most people don't even really know. And the other half, for the greater majority of them, it's a wish. Because let me tell you about about a dream. See, a dream wakes you up early in the morning, keeps you up late at night. It makes you go sleepless nights. You become Edison. You are about that incandescent light bulb. You just become consumed with that dream. It could be to take care of your mom. It could be to pay off your bills. It could be to be able to travel the world. It could be to feed the homeless. It could be to work in indigenous nations. But that dream keeps you awake. And so what happens when it comes to what we call truly a dream? And that's, I'm the dream weaver. So my job is to find people who truly are breathing that dream and finding different ways of being able to get there. There is no one path. God has a whole different path. He may take you up a street, around another freeway, in a place. I did this in ways. It's like I said, no, 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 I'm only supposed to go here. I'm sure everybody's done this before on GPS. And it's like, it's right there. And you get stuck in traffic. And it was trying to tell you to go left to go around the traffic. That happened to me coming here today. I was like, wow, that just saved me 15 minutes just being able to follow the system. So when I talk about your dream, and what price are you willing to pay? What a person has to do, Silver Ray, is they have to identify what, not just what price am I willing to pay, but what is the price tag for that? Before you jump in the water for something, that will eliminate 90% of what I call quitchimications. Because most people, when I start with you, I sit down, my first question is, what's your IQ? So what do you mean, what's my IQ? What's your I quit level? So I know when to leave before you do. Because most people have not established. So you say you want this, I'll help you get it. That's my job description. That's my anointing. That's my gift. That's what God brought me here to do, is get you what you want. Because if I help enough people get what they want, I get everything that I want. People are so quick to label. And it's like,
I love it.
Well, he does this. You have no idea. My job is to serve you. So that's what I would say in regards to that. And anything else you want me to tap on, I think that's the most important thing a person needs to establish, is be very clear about their idea, their plan, their dream, have it outlined, have an accountability partner who's going to help them walk through the tough times and the terrains when it's lonely and it's cold, because everyone goes through, I mean, the devil is a liar. When I say the devil has three best friends, doubt, fear, and worry. And they run around like crazy. And they're knocking right now in this COVID time. They're knocking on everybody's door. But I tell people, all of the devil's best friends, they have a vampire syndrome. What's a vampire syndrome? So all the mess going on in your life, all the friends, all the broke friends, all the people holding you down, all the people that won't support you in your business, all the people that have never cheered you on, all of that, that's not their fault. See, the vampire syndrome, after you become an adult, after 18, the only way a vampire comes in your house is if you invite them. You have to let them in. So now it's your fault. It's not anybody else's fault but yours. Until you take full responsibility for everything in your life, can you elevate to the next level? And if you break down the word responsibility, it is the ability to respond, not the ability to react, but to respond.
Mm.
Yeah. There you go, love.
Well, I'll tell you what, this has been a pot of gold, and I will be posting it several times during the week, and I'm going to tell people listen more than one time until you really get
yes.
This in your system. There's, I've heard you and more than once, and things that you do on social media too for your teams and for the public are just, they're phenomenal. And it's information like that that you do have to keep getting into your system in order to,
yes.
I believe, get the belief system the way it needs
100%.
To be to move in the direction money making and becoming millionaires. I want to thank you so much again. You carved out some time for me, and I just really appreciate
so
you
honor.
For it.
It's a God
you,
appointment,
well,
girl.
You,
I had to
my,
go
it,
up. It's a God appointment. I tell people, I had to get off my knees and show up for you. So many people stay on their knees still asking God to do something they can do for themselves. I prayed for you in my life. And we have been in touch and communication. I love having, and I would say this quickly, but my mastery is relationship currencies and human equity. The value of you as a human being. And the relationships that you collab with is what makes life valuable even when you're gone, that leaves that lasting imprint. And you are, you know, you said all those wonderful things about me in the beginning, but, you know, one thing I can say is nobody's ever self-made. I am not me without you. You have poured into me, even in the small times that we've talked over the years, just your spirit and who you are and how you show up. I tell people all the time, your attitude is your altitude that gives you your longitude that allows you to see your destiny and sail where nobody else will go. And your attitude of who you are and what you're giving back on this show to bring something in a time of so much drought, now I'll leave it right there, is
indeed, amazing.
And I love you for it. I so appreciate who you are and who you are to me, love. So thank you for having me.
And same here.
Oh, and my email again,
I knew we'd be forever
yeah.
friends.
Oh, forever. Just have them get my email if anybody wants. Yep. If anybody thinks that they even doubt, see, can I say one more thing, love? One more thing. I missed a piece, and that was, though I am saying that, you know, and I want to talk into that listing. I think I missed it a little bit. I want to speak into the listing where you shared what about the people who don't have the confidence and don't have the belief or don't, you know, I don't believe that. I believe the lack of confidence comes from the lack of
opportunity. You have 3 minutes.
I got you, love. I'm not even going to use that. I believe the lack of confidence and belief comes into a space that every child that has become great in any capacity, an engineer, a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, even yourself, somebody believed in them first before they believed in themselves.
Yeah.
Go find people that have what I call a PMA, a positive mental attitude, like myself. It doesn't have to be me. Go find anybody. Find you. Find anybody in our world. All the people on your podcast. Just get in touch with them. We're waiting for that person that says, I'm ready to change my life and the world. I know I'm meant for something much better than I have. Identify yourself. Thank you, love. I'm done.
You know, I just want to say this about you and encourage people to reach out to you because I've seen you in action. And I marveled at the fact that there could be so many people and you make everybody feel like it's just about them and you. It's just the most amazing thing. You care that much. Everything you've said may sound kind of broad to people, but you really do bring it down to, you know, this is about you and this is what can happen for you. I appreciate you too and love you too, Byron. Thank you so much for taking the time. And we'll talk again. Very, very soon.
Yes, very soon. Please give me a copy.
All right.
I just want to hear your voice.
Oh, sure. You're so funny.
I want to hear the rest of your podcast as well. I want to hear some of your other people you've had on. I can't wait to see. I haven't had a chance. I'd love to spend time there. That's where you
feed. I'll make sure you get that info. I'll make sure you get it.
Okay, love.
You have an amazing day, and I love you back. Thank you again.
Okay,
and I
want
to thank all of you, too, for taking the time to listen in and get all of that incredible, incredible information from someone who not just doing it, but who is living it, who has the experience and expertise to take you to a whole other level in your own self-belief and in your life. So please take advantage of reaching out to him. I will make sure that information is also posted on my page as well, how you can reach out to Byron. In the meantime, I hope that you will, again, as I said to him, listen to this show more than once because it's those seeds of greatness that he planted in this show that can truly minister to all of us in our lives where we need to go to other aspects of our existence too financially. So take a listen more than once and please share. And you know what I always say, tune in next week and also be good, be blessed, be awesome, and stay safe. Look forward to talking to you next time.